You're listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. Look at that gull drifting across the sky. It seems to move through the air without effort. How does it stay aloft and fly so easily? Natural adaptations have given it a strong yet lightweight body, and for their weight, its feathers are among the strongest structures in the world. But aren't a bird's bones, like ours, heavy? Let's take a closer look. That red-tailed hawk circling overhead has hollow bones strengthened by struts, light but strong. The bones of frigate birds, masters of the air, weigh less than their feathers. To further reduce weight while maintaining essential strength, many bird bones are fused. For example, a bird's hand and fingers are made up of only 6 bones. In addition, the ribs of a bird are joined to other bones to make a rigid box that supports those long wings, just as the wings support the bird. And finally, the bird just wouldn't fly that well if not for the streamlining provided by its sleek feather coat. With its body thus supremely adapted for the air, the Arctic tern, one of the superstars of migration, can travel across thousands of miles of open ocean each year in effortless flight. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
I've maybe written these down in books, carved them into stone. You look at hieroglyphs, and at one point in history, that knowledge is lost. It's gone. We no longer know how to read the hieroglyphs, or we have to relearn how to read those. Sometimes we'll even forget what language they're written in. Books can be destroyed and burned. And I think with the language we have, when I say a 13,000-year investment in us, we've scientifically proven that we speak for the same reason that we see, touch, hear, taste, or smell. As human beings, we're hardwired to do this. We're hardwired to use language. And I think, and I have to say I think, because no one can speak definitively about this, that when asked, well, how we pass these teachings down, generation after generation, the ingenious idea they had was we will put the teachings in the words themselves. And it's the way a culture with a really strong oral tradition can pass down a myriad of teachings, literally over millennia, to generations who are coming. When they look in the words and really describe, find out what the words mean. For me, when I do that, I can hear my ancestors' voices speaking to me. We went through this too. We had a point in our life where we asked, what does it mean to be humble? How do I treat my relatives with respect? What does it really mean to be to love and to be loved? How do I show strength of heart in times when I have to make really difficult decisions, when I need to be brave? And when we had this experience, we shared it. We put that meaning into the word itself. And so when you have that experience, you can look in the language and it can describe it to you. It was one of those moments where when I first began learning the language and offering tobacco to elders and fluent first language speakers asking for help in it, they would tell me time and time again that if you really want to know the culture, the history, the spirituality, the ethics, the philosophy, the history, it's all in the language. And because I'm slow, it takes me about 2 years to realize, oh, wait, it's literally in the language and something that all human beings use.
I've interviewed recently a elder who is helping to translate the Star Wars films into Anishinaabe Mo'in. Where do you have any dreams for the language, or do you have any long-term goals, or where do you want to see all of this go in the future generations?
My long-term goals are humble, yet they are they're humble at best. I'd like to do my best to pass the language or whatever I have learned onto the next generation. Some of these efforts, like Star Wars, that's a really innovative and cool effort, because I think I can recount Star Wars line for line, and I have been able to for the last 25 years. You're going to have a number of people who are going to watch it and be like, oh, that's how you say, you know, may the force be with you. It's going to be really fun to watch. It's going to be really even more fun to listen to. I would love to just be able to pass it down to the next generation, hopefully with more resources than I had when I began learning the language, and with more opportunity to do it. When I first started learning the language, your choice was university courses. And while I was doing that, I was listening to cassette tapes and photocopies of books. There were no textbooks at the time. So to be able to pass down resources for the next generation, that if they make the choice to pass down what they have learned, then that's my main ambition. That's my main goal with the language.
At the end of every interview, I always get my guests to teach me three words. Before I do that, though, do you have any phrases that you absolutely love in the language, or any particular structures?
Shall I teach you some of them?
I would love to. That? Yes.
Let's do top three. All right. Maybe top four. Let's do it four. Four is a very important number in the culture. The first one would be Shawinamishinam.
Shawinamishinam. Shawinamishinam.
The first time out, well done. Giminotagos. You sound good. That word Shawinam, it's a beautiful word in the language. It means to have compassion for. It means to bless. And it means to love unconditionally. Now, when you put the Ishinam at the end of it, it means all of us. To say Shawinamishinam at the end of a ceremony, and often you'll hear it four times, means please bless. Please have unconditional love. And please have compassion for all of us, all of my relatives. It's a very beautiful way to end a ceremony. That's basic. That's one. Are you ready for the next one?
I am. My mind is being blown right now.
This is one that I just absolutely love. Kijewatsi. Kijewatsi. Nice. That kije, it's like unconditional loving kindness. And the traditional word, name for God, it's not the spirit or creator's name, but it's the one that would be used maybe in ceremony with great reverence. Wasn't great spirit Gichi Manadu? It was Kije Manadu. Kind spirit, benevolent mystery. So that Kije, when it is added to that word, Kije Watsi, it means he or she lives with that kind of kindness, with that loving kindness, with that generosity. And it shows me, this is a big one for me, because there was no longer a dichotomy between like spirit and human being. It was human beings can seek to have that kind of loving, that love in their lives. And we know it because they had found a word that describes to live with that kindness. In when I meditate and set down a sema tobacco at the end of every day, I will ask for Dagawidu Kawashanam, please help all of us. To help each other to lead lives of kindness. And so I absolutely love that word for kindness, for living that way, for living that life.
Amazing. Kishiwatsuki.
Nice. Even the tagos. Again, you sound great. You're natural.
Thank you. Thank you. Or miigwech.
Oh, miigwech, dig in. There is one that I've been sharing at the end that during my talks, when I do keynotes, and I've been delighted and fortunate to travel to a number of communities in Anishinaabe in Ojibwe country. And I've made it a point to teach people this since the pandemic, because so many of us, you know, lost people we hold very dear to us, people we love very dearly. And so if you want to say, I love you to someone in Ojibwe, you can always say, Gisagi in. Gisagi in.
Gisagi.
I love you.
Gisagi in. Gisagi in.
And then we used Jawainam earlier. Jawainam Anishinaabe. You can also say, Gisjawainam in.
Gisjawainam in.
Gisjawainam in. I love you. So I make a point to say that to my son every day when I drop him off at school. I have the privilege to do that. So it's gigawabman. We don't have a word for goodbye. It's gigawabman. I'll see you later. Gishuwenaman. I love you.
Thank you.
And then I suppose our fourth word, we'll do four. It's a mystic number in Anishinaabe culture. Miigwech.
Miigwech.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Apajigo miigwech. Thank you very much for having me on today.
I have to give big props to Kim Wheeler for getting James on the show today. He's a super in-demand guy, and to be honest, I thought it wasn't going to happen. But it did. I guess you can say the Creator works in incredible ways. I now know what a journey James has been on to reach the point that he's at today. And not only am I looking forward to his next book, that'll be picking up where the first left off, on transforming your life, I'm actually inspired to practice the good life, or Minobibatsuin, to stay in balance and not be in contradiction, to live in peace and walk the talk. It's a lot harder than it sounds. I'm also grateful for Indigenous content creators like him who are compassionate and kind. The internet can be a harsh reflection of what's happening in our world, but it can also be a place for learning. Chi miigwech to you for joining us on this episode. Your support and love is deeply appreciated. I'm going to head out and do some more reflecting, and I'll be back with our final installment of the Anishinaabe episodes very soon. Until then, nagaj, or later.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Onigiwahi.
Gigawabamin.
Soko seni denit e. Minen yuji hina.
Ekose.
Kakuhutau. We'll see you again.